Good evening. I think we have enough for a quorum, so we're going to start tonight's meeting of the Northern Regional Advisory Committee, or Council, sorry. My name is Bryce Thurgood. I'm the RAC chair, and I represent the at-large. But we'll start with the council introductions. We'll start over on that side with Mike.
Mike Lauder, Sportsman's Rep, Hooper.
Randy Hutchison, Ogden, at large.
Kevin McLeod, at large, Plain City.
Matt Clark, Ogden, at large.
Aaron Johnson, Sportsman, Ogden.
David Earle, Agriculture.
Chris Hoekstrom, Non-Consumptive.
Paul Chase, out of Logan, Forest Service.
Darren Perry, Chairman of the Shoshone Nation.
Kristen Purdy, Ogden, Non-Consumptive.
Justin Oliver, West Haven, at large.
And Justin Doling, I'm the Regional Supervisor with the Division of Wildlife, and I serve as the Executive Secretary, and I'm a non-voting member.
Okay. We'd also like to recognize Byron Bateman from the Wildlife Board. He represents us from the Northern Region on the Wildlife Board, so thank you for coming. This time, if everybody want to take a quick second, turn your phones off so we can not be distracted. We're going to try to make this meeting a little shorter than last month's. So, purpose of the Regional Advisory Committee is to gather input from the public concerning wildlife management policy, rules, regulations. The council then makes recommendations to the Wildlife Board. Wildlife Board considers the recommendations from the five regional councils and sets policy for all protected species in Utah. Please respect everyone's right to an opinion, even if it conflicts with yours. No need for clapping or vocal outbursts to support or criticize other comments. We'll kick you out. This meeting will be recorded for the transcription of the minutes. The audio recording and minutes will be available on the DWR website. When speaking, please use the microphones and speak clearly into them. The public will use the microphone located at the front of the audience. Speakers state their name and if they wish where they're from. Just make sure you speak into it clearly. Okay, for tonight, please take a look at the agenda for tonight's meeting. Short and sweet. If there's no objections, we will approve the agenda for tonight's meetings. Okay? Since there's no objections, we'll call it approved. The next business is the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Everybody received a copy of those minutes, and is there any changes from those minutes? Okay. If no changes, we'll approve those as circulated. The next item on the agenda is the Wildlife Board meeting update. Unfortunately, me and Justin were both gone. Justin had a good excuse. I had a not so good excuse. I was off hunting. So we had Randy fill in for us, and he will give us the Wildlife Board update.
Randy Wood, as you know, it was a pretty full agenda. We started off with waterfowl recommendations, and the motion we had there was to accept the waterfowl recommendations rule amendments as presented, and it passed unanimous. They did slightly discuss for just a few minutes our recommendation from this region to have the scop season the last 86 days of the hunt, but we were the only region that recommended that, so they went ahead and did not, the scop season went as recommended by the division. Then the next item up was the non-game wildlife mammal action. The motion was that they approve R657-19, taking of non-game amendment as presented by the division, and that passed unanimous. Then the next one was the Buck Bulls once-in-a-lifetime 2018 season dates and application. This took several, they broke it into several motions. The first motion was to approve the Bighorn Sheep Hunt on the Oak Creek unit, and that passed unanimous. The next motion was moved that they accept the new archery-only once-in-a-lifetime Bighorn Sheep Hunts on the Newfoundland Mountains and Zion units. This vote came tied at 3-3, and Chairman Woodward voted in opposition of this, so that failed 4-3. The next motion was that we approve the multi-season elk hunt with 5,000 permit cap for spike units, a 5,000 permit cap for any bull units. This motion died for lack of a second. The next motion was that we accept the multi-season elk hunt as presented, with a caveat that the division would conduct a survey gauging permit holders' success rates and weapon types and provide that information to the board in next year. And that passed 5-1. The next motion here was to accept the early rifle season hunt as presented, excluding the Panguitch Lake unit. That passed 4-2. The next motion was to accept the division's... Okay, this next motion was about the late season muzzleloader elk hunt, limited entry elk hunt. The motion was to accept the division's alternate recommendation provided by the Mule Deer Management Committee that allows for late season muzzleloader hunts, limited entry hunts on units that exceed the buck to doe ratio objective. Keep last year's units minus the plateau boulder and carp width, so they would cut those out from last year, and add the beaver and north slope units. And you guys did not hear the alternative recommendation. What the alternative recommendation was to follow the deer plan. And the deer plan indicates that we can have the late season muzzleloader hunt on units that are under the 18 to 20 bucks per 100 does as our objective, and they meet or exceed that. So the alternative was to go and follow the plan. That motion passed unanimous. The next motion was to accept the bison recommendation as presented by the division, with an addition of creating a working group modeled after the Henry Mountain Working Group, and this was to create a working group on the Book Cliffs. So to pass the bison recommendation, that passed unanimous. The next motion in this was to approve the cactus buck hunt on the Ponsagon. That passed unanimous. The next motion was to set the Ponsagon rifle hunt date to begin alongside the limited, and this is deer, the limited entry hunt date and end on the last day of October. In addition, the division may adjust any other management hunt accordingly, and that was the management buck unit. That passed unanimous. The next motion was to add to an action log the division review turning the muzzleloader elk hunt into an either sex hunt on units that are over objective and report to the board next year. This motion was withdrawn because it already allows for that in the elk management plan, and we just have not implemented it yet. The next motion was to put an action item log review of the season dates for archery deer hunting and add a survey concerning this issue prior to the next revision of the statewide deer management plan in 2022. The division will report back next year to look at how the season dates change would look and with the requested change. That passed 5-1. The next one was to accept the balance of the Buck and Bull once in a lifetime 2018 season dates as presented, and that passed unanimous. Then we move into taking big game amendment rules. The motion there was to accept R657-5 as presented by the division, including the definition change for a cactus buck of 50% velvet coverage to the antlers. That passed unanimous. Moved on into the R657-71, remove of wild mule deer from domestic elk facilities. The motion there was to approve the removal as from elk facilities as presented. That passed unanimous. And then we moved into the state pronghorn plan. Had one motion there to approve it as presented. It passed unanimous. The moose plan, one motion, approve as presented. It passed unanimous. The Northern Region deer management plans, one motion there was to approve the plans as presented. That passed unanimous. CWMU management plans permit numbers for 2018. The first motion there was approve the Jump Creek CWMU 3-year COR, and the Jump Creek was the one that the division recommended denying. So their motion was to approve the 3-year COR with the understanding that they will apply for a variance in February of 2018, contingent upon a favorable recommendation. Permits will be issued for years 2 and 3. Otherwise, an unfavorable recommendation will bring it back to the Wildlife Board. That passed unanimous. The next motion on there was to approve the CWMU management plans and permit numbers for 2018, along with the recommended permit changes for Jacobs Creek, which is in our region, and Woodruff Creek, which is in our region, for 2018 and 19, and that passed unanimous. Then moving on to landowner association permits for 2018, we had a motion there to accept the Diamond Mountain Landowner Association variance request, grant 6 landowner permits to the Book Cliffs and 5 landowner permits to the Three Corners, and approve the remainder of the 2018 permit numbers as presented, and that passed unanimous. Moving on into the mentor rule, the motion there was to approve the rule as presented. That passed unanimous. Then there was a motion that recommended the division that they form a sheep working group or committee prior to the next statewide sheep management plan, and that passed unanimous. That's it.
I missed the second and third one. Will you do it all again? Okay. Byron, could I ask you a question on the sheep management or the sheep forming the sheep committee? Are they forming that like in the next few months? And will that maybe explore the archery hunts that got voted down? Sorry to put you on the spot, but just question.
Byron Bateman on the Wildlife Board. The answer to that, Bryce, hopefully they'll do that in the next few months to review everything, especially since this once-in-a-lifetime thing's gone around the last 2 years, but bighorn sheep are so critical, to bring them back and keep them where we've got them, that we need to have a committee of people, just like the mule deer working group, the elk working group, and all the other working groups we have throughout the state. So that was the intent of that motion, and it's we'll stay on Justin Shannon and make sure that they get that put together and get the right people on that committee so we manage sheep in the right way.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Now we'll turn the time over to Justin for the regional update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to review a couple of highlights that's going on in our region right now. In the wildlife section, they've started to capture bighorn sheep on Antelope Island and on Newfoundland Mountains. And they're going to do some pre-disease testing before they actually go in and do the capture work and move those animals off. So that's currently ongoing. They will be starting the deer collaring project on the cache unit. That's part of our ongoing survival study where we collar does and fawns and look at overwinter survival. So they'll also be assessing condition of the animals at the same time. And then the biologists in the wildlife section are just finishing up the postseason deer classifications. In our aquatic section, I talked a little bit about a study that they've got going on out at Willard where they're marking hatchery fry, walleye fry, and they put them in a bass solution, and then when they go back out and sample the fish later in the year after they've put some growth on, they can pull the ear bone. I think I passed a picture around last time, the dye will show up as little stains on the ear bone. So as the ear bone grows, it incorporates that dye, and then they can tell whether or not that walleye was part of a hatchery planting or whether it was recruited naturally. And what they found this fall is that we have really variable natural recruitment of walleye, but this fall they found that 50% of the young of the year that they sampled were marked, and about 50% were naturally recruited, which means it was a good natural recruitment year for Willard. And that doesn't happen all the time, so they're trying to fine-tune when is the best time to plant hatchery fry if they anticipate a poor recruitment year. They're also working with Mountain West Muskies, a group that formed with a desire to get more information on muskie, and that's at Pineview Reservoir. So that, in conjunction with the division, that group has tagged 120 tiger muskies at Pineview. The hope there is that maybe at some point we can actually look at a mark recapture type analysis and get a population estimate on the tiger muskie. And they've also collected 90 fin ray samples, and that's for the purpose of aging, so we can get an age structure of our muskie population in addition to possibly a population estimate. They also worked with several partners to replace a culvert in Jacobs Creek, which is a tributary to the Weber River. And the purpose of replacing that culvert was to get it installed properly so that spawning cutthroat trout could continue up Jacobs Creek during the spring. Prior to the replacement of the culvert, it was acting as a barrier. In our Great Salt Lake program, they reported that they released over 2,000 pheasants on the Great Salt Lake waterfowl management areas this fall. The tundra swan numbers this fall peaked at 60,000, which is really, really, really good. And that occurred on November 8th. They had reported a great waterfowl opener, one of the best in the last 10-15 years. Hunter success was extremely high, and hunters were very happy. And as far as the brine shrimp harvest at this point, they're at 28 million pounds of brine shrimp cis harvested, which is right close to the record, I think, of about 32 million. So they're having a real good year on the Great Salt Lake with brine shrimp harvest. In our licensing department, they wanted to just remind everybody that the turkey applications will be accepted from November 29th through the 27th of December. New fishing guidebooks have arrived at our regional offices and will be distributed out to the vendors here shortly. And then we expect the buck, bulls, and once-in-a-lifetime application guidebooks to arrive by the end of December or early January. In our outreach section, Hardware Ranch opens this Friday, and the Elk Festival is planned for Saturday, December the 9th. So if you haven't been to that festival, it's a good festival up at Hardware Ranch I'd encourage you to go up and check that out. They also have 15 schools that are signed up for the Trout in the Classroom program. This is a Trout Unlimited project primarily, but we provide the young fish for the program. But we've had good interest and good participation for this Trout in the Classroom program. And then they also have several ice fishing clinics scheduled for January and February, assuming our temperatures continue to stay cold. In law enforcement, they will be doing some pretty significant winter patrols on deer winter range across our region. That's just to look for illegal activity on deer winter range when deer are yarded up and close to roads and easily accessible. They will also be putting in a pretty good effort to work trappers this winter. In our habitat section, they finished up a scalping project on Hennifer Echo WMA. The term scalping refers to an instrument that's attached to a bulldozer. It cuts a big furrow, and it cuts a fairly wide furrow with a little groove down the middle. And the purpose of that is to remove all the annual weeds and reduce the competition for moisture in the spring. And then they have a seeder that comes in and dribbles seed right in that little groove. And then the dozer tracks actually kind of cover it in and set it in place. And it's a good way to revegetate steep hillsides that you can't get conventional tractors on. This dozer is able to manipulate and get to some areas we normally couldn't. And so they finished up a lot of work this winter, and they continue to move. Their plan is to move ridge over ridge over ridge and see how many of these areas we can get restored. And then they also were successful in reseeding the fire burn scars in West Box Elder County. So don't know that they got them all reseeded, but the majority of them have been reseeded. So that's all I have, unless there's questions.
Thank you, Justin. We'll move right along to our only agenda item, which will be from Darren DuBois, the Black Bear recommendations and rule amendments.
Thank you. My name is Darren DuBois. I'm the Mammals Program Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, and I'll be speaking about our 2018 Black Bear recommendations tonight. I thought, I know we have some new members of the RACs, and so I thought I'd kind of put a brief history together, emphasis on brief, of black bear management in Utah. But first, I thought I'd quickly explain, you know, what the role of the Division of Wildlife Resources is, specifically for bears, but in wildlife in general. Our mission statement is to serve the people of Utah as a trustee and guardian of the state's wildlife. And the Division of Wildlife Resources actively manages bear populations. That means that we have specific goals in mind. We will use different management strategies to try to achieve those goals. And hunting is a key part of that management strategy. One of the reasons why we support hunting is that it builds and maintains interest and support for bear populations. And as I start getting into the history, you'll see how conservationists and hunters have played a significant role there. It allows our biologists to maintain and to reach their management parameters and goals. And it also helps us when we have a conflict between humans and bears. We've been managing bears as a protected species for about 50 years in Utah. So in 1967, sportsmen approached the legislature and asked that bears and mountain lions be considered protected species of wildlife. Up until that point, they didn't have any kind of protection in the state. And you could take a bear anytime, anywhere that you wanted to. There weren't permits or seasons or anything like that. After 1967, hunting was still fairly liberal. You were able to you know, the season was year-round and permits weren't very limited. But we also didn't take a lot of bears during that time. In the mid-80s, the division recognized that there were a lot of gaps in our knowledge about black bears in Utah, you know, just habitat uses, life history, and things like that. We undertook a series of studies beginning in 1986 to look at black bear biology. And a little over 10 years later, in the late 90s, all of that data was looked at by a black bear discussion group, which was a panel of division people, special interest groups, you know, sportsmen, conservationists, non-consumptive interests, and they drafted the first black bear management plan in the state, and that went into effect in 1999. That plan was in effect until 2011 when we did it again, looked at the latest science, the latest research that was available, and made some amendments to that plan. And the current plan that we manage black bears under is the 2011 through the 2023 plan. That plan calls for 3-year cycles where we reevaluate the plan, look at what we're doing, look at what the latest research, if there is any, might say, and make changes if necessary. Part of that cycle occurred in 2015, and we made some fairly significant changes to season structures. We added different kinds of hunt opportunities that year, and so we just finished up the third year of that cycle this year. So what does the plan say? The plan has one overarching goal, and that is to maintain a healthy bear population in existing occupied habitat and to expand distribution while considering human safety, economic concerns, and other wildlife species. And it also defines what a healthy bear population is. And that is one where there's a proportion of breeding age animals that will maintain population levels consistent with habitat and also maintains genetic variability. So those are the big 30,000 foot goals that we're managing to in the plan. And then we get down into the details and have specific management parameters that we manage to. And this slide shows what those are, and if there are if you have more questions when we get to that point, I'd be happy to get into this in more detail. But let me just, in a nutshell, what this says is that we harvest bears under three strategies: light, moderate, and liberal. Light might be for a unit where we don't have a lot of concerns with bears and people. We want to see populations grow, and so we have kind of a light take on those units. The most units fall into the moderate category, where we kind of address problems as they arise, but we're trying to maintain bear populations at a carrying capacity in, on those units. And liberal would be units where we might have concerns with livestock depredation, agricultural depredation, those kinds of things. And so depending on what category the unit falls into, the parameters there are what we look at when we're managing bears. And so if we're outside of the parameters in a positive way for population growth, we recommend more permits. If we're outside of the parameters in a negative way for population growth, we recommend a reduction in permits. And if we're right in within the parameters, we'd probably maintain. And so everything you see tonight, with one exception that I'll point out, falls within the management parameters of the plan as far as our permit recommendations. Last year, through this process, we had six things that we discussed at the board and that the board asked us to take into consideration this year when we looked at recommendations. And so this is a list of what of those issues. One is evaluate ways to obtain better population estimates. We're looking at working with universities to see if we can get some projects on the ground on that. We've also are going to make an effort to expand our bear cubbing or denning activities, especially on units with high bear densities, to look at birth pulses. We feel like that could help, and we've committed to get more collars on more female bears. And also tonight I'll show you a population estimate that we used using harvest data as well, to kind of get us a feel for what's going on with bear populations across the state. The second thing was to review the Book Cliffs hunting seasons. The proposal was to take the current season structure on the San Juan and La Salle and use those on the Book Cliffs. We put a group together, we discussed that, we came up with some suggestions, and we'll probably hear more about that tonight, so I won't spend a lot of time on that right now. The other thing was a preference point for restricted pursuit seasons. We are going to make a recommendation along those lines. Pack size restriction for dogs, or concerns about large packs of dogs, mostly on southeastern region units. We had some discussions about that. We're not going to make any recommendations on pack size tonight. We're going to leave that the same. But we do feel like we have the tools that if that's a concern, we have other ways of addressing it with restricted pursuit seasons and things like that. I don't know if you all know, but we've been kind of running an experiment on the La Salles and the San Juans where the managers down there noticed that when we had permits for pursuit at a certain level in the summer, we were seeing a lot of bears show up into town. And they wondered if maybe that it was that pressure. And so what they did is they took the San Juan and reduced the number of pursuit permits available. Actually, it was the opposite. They took the La Salles and reduced the number of permits available and kept the San Juans the same. They've done that for 3 years. They want to switch that now and change that up. So you'll see that in our recommendation. We'd like to continue that for 3 more years with the pressure switched. And see if we can detect a difference. And finally, there was some concern about harvest objective units on public land dominated units, and the management plan says we'll try to avoid that. There are situations where we feel like we can use harvest objective to increase opportunity, but we are sensitive to public land units and trying to make opting maybe for a limit entry strategy where there are, where bear numbers are high and there's a high demand. And you'll see we've made a recommendation tonight along those lines as well. We got a group together to discuss these issues. We invited the groups that you see here, and we met a couple of times. The first time was kind of a small proportion of the groups here. The second time we actually had a video conference and had more people and discussed those topics that I just mentioned. And again, some of those will be incorporated into the recommendations tonight. Other things we took back, evaluated, and feel like we have some good ideas and that we might want to build on. And we may see something like along those lines in the future from us. So, moving into the current status. This is statewide hunter success since 2014. You can see it remains right around 50% success rate. So 2014 was under a little bit different harvest strategy. And as I mentioned before, in 2015 we changed a lot of things. So far hasn't changed success rates a lot, but we've actually offered a lot more hunting opportunities. So in the next slide, you'll see kind of what the trend is. And then you can see what the statewide harvest numbers are. The only caveat here is for 2017, when we formulate our recommendations, those seasons aren't all over. And so we'll still have a little bit of information coming in over the next couple of months. Ages specifically, those bears will be checked in. We take teeth, and it takes a while to get those teeth aged. So this slide represents the number of permits in yellow that have been sold since 1990, and the red are the number of bears that are taken on the sport harvest, so by hunters. And you can kind of see the trend. You can also see in 2015 there was a big jump in permits. We added seasons that were things like spot and stock seasons, where you can offer a fair number of permits, but the success is pretty low. It's almost just chance. You're just out in the field, and if you see a bear and you can take it, it's more opportunistic. I talked about population trends. So this is an estimate of our minimum adult population of bears. And adult I mean bears that are 2 years of age or older. And we get this estimate based on our harvest data. Every bear that's harvested in the state has to be brought in and checked in at our offices. So we actually see those bears and are able to pull teeth and get ages. This doesn't include cubs. It doesn't include yearling bears. And I think it also doesn't include any other forms of mortality other than hunting. And so the actual number is higher than this, but the real take home here is the trend. We feel like we've seen a growing bear population steadily since about 2000. There may be some leveling over the last couple of years, but if you look back around 2008, we kind of had that same pattern. It kind of leveled and then it grew again. So we'll keep an eye on that. And the plan is designed that if we do see downward trends, that you would see permit adjustments for that. This slide, one thing that we really try to do is we have a certain amount of depredation or conflict mortality out there, and it comes in two primary forms. One is bears that get into livestock, usually sheep, and can do damage, and those bears will be taken usually by wildlife services or by the division, usually by wildlife services. The other situations we see are bears that get into agricultural crops. They'll eat watermelons, sunflowers, things like that. If we can move those agricultural damaging bears, we try to. And sometimes once they've learned that food source, they come back. And so there is some removal of bears in those situations as well. But as a general rule, if we have an increasing population, we try to allow opportunities for those bears to be hunted. And so the red line here is the sports harvest since 1990. The yellow line at the bottom that's fairly stable is the depredation harvest. And so that remains, you know, you'll see some blips. It remains fairly constant. And the take home, I think, from this slide is that with an increasing population, that sportsmen have been able to benefit by being able to take those bears as populations increase. So moving into recommendations, we're not recommending a lot of big changes this year on season dates. I'll point out most of these are just adjusted for the calendar. There is one change here, the summer limited entry season. We're recommending that season begin on May 26th, which is a week earlier than it currently is, and run through June 29th, but that we eliminate the early bait season on that structure. So up until now, there was a two-week period where you could begin to put your bait into the field, and then you'd begin hunting June 2nd. We feel like from a biological standpoint, this is a pretty good compromise. It does a couple of things. One is, we were always a little concerned about that, you know, the earlier you put bait out, the more likely you are to start having females with young cubs roaming. You know, they tend to hang around the den sites when they have cubs up until, you know, mid-May, early June. But then they start to get out a little bit more. We feel like having baiting season shortened up lessens the chance that you might have a pack of dogs, you know, encounter a cub in the field, which we want to try to avoid. Also, This allows people hunting that summer limited entry season to go ahead and just start hunting when they put their bait out, so they don't need to wait. They're in the field anyway. It puts them there. They're watching that bait station, and so we're making that recommendation. Fall limited entry is the same. No changes there. We have a multi-season opportunity, and that is if a person draws those tags, they can hunt all the seasons. And so the season dates will vary depending on the unit and what tag they draw. And finally, our harvest objective seasons. For harvest objective, we sell an unlimited number of permits, but we have a harvest objective that once it's met, the unit would close. So if you want to take 5 bears, however many people who wanted to could buy a permit, but once the 5th bear is harvested, then the unit shuts down and people can't hunt there anymore. There are a few units with alternative seasons. One of those is the Book Cliffs Bitter Creek South. We're recommending an archery-only season from August 6th through September 7th, and then dogs and bait October 1st through November 15th. That's the same as the structure that's currently there. On the Book Cliffs Little Creek Roadless, an archery-only hunt during the same season as the other, and then a spot and stock only hunt in the spring, so March 31st through June 1st, and then again September 8th through November 15th. On the LaSalle's and the San Juan, the seasons for dogs and bait would be August 11th through September 14th, and then for the fall season, the spring seasons are the same, spring and summer, as everywhere else. And then no dogs beginning September 15th through September 24th. That's when the limited entry, any weapon, bull, elk hunt is taking place. But bait hunters could continue to hunt during that time period. And then again in November 3rd through November 15th. And finally, a spot and stock hunt beginning on October 2nd, running through October 23rd. So let me... go ahead and we'll talk about each region and permit recommendations. If we're recommending a change, you'll see a colored box on the right-hand side that represents the adjustment from 2017. I also passed out, this came up last night, so I put a handout together that has a little bit more information. I'll kind of show you what the number was last year, what it is this year, and it'll also show the management parameters, so whether how we're adjusting those permits based on the management plan. It'll also give you a lower and upper bound, a range within which we can adjust the permits. So if we can refer to that if any questions come up. So for the northeastern region, we're recommending an additional 3 permits on the Book Cliffs Little Creek Roadless area. For the northern region, we're recommending an additional 2 permits on the Chalk Creek Camas North Slope Summit combined units. Central region, recommending Central Mountain Nebo, an additional 3. And the Wasatch Mountains West Central be changed from harvest objective to a limited entry unit, and an additional 10 permits on that season. For the southeastern region, this is the region that has the biggest density of bears, so you'd expect to see the biggest changes. You can see the numbers. Additional 7 on the Manti, Central Mountains Manti North, an additional 7 for Central Mountains Manti South, an additional 25 for the LaSalle's, an additional 9 for the 9 Mile, an additional 25 for the San Juan. For the southern region, 2 on Beaver. And then I mentioned there was one that was outside of the plan a little bit. It's the Panguitch, and we're not recommending the full recommended increase on the Panguitch Lake because of the fires down there. And so we're comfortable with a couple. I think the management plan calls for 3 or 4, and so we're not recommending that full increase because of the loss of some habitat. So 2 on the Beaver, 2 on the Panguitch Lake Zion, 2 on the Ponsagant, and one additional on the Plateau Fish Lake, Thousand Lakes. General pursuit seasons, again, these are just adjusted for the calendar year, same pursuit seasons, general seasons as last year. Restricted pursuit seasons on the following units, Book Cliffs, LaSalle's, and San Juan units, and those season dates. Finally, we talked about the preference point issue that came up last year for these pursuit units. They're restricted, and so it's kind of a limited entry opportunity. When we started looking at it, we discovered that if we did a preference point, which works a little bit different than bonus points. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but there's a difference in the odds. Preference point is just straight gives you a preference the next year. Because of the interest in these permits, it'd almost become a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It'd be 25 years before we'd go through the pool of people with preference points and you'd be able to draw again. Bonus points work different. You get a preference, but half of those permits still go to people that maybe don't have full bonus points, just how that system works. We felt like that'd be a lot better system to use. And so we're recommending a bonus point system for restricted pursuit seasons. And part of the bonus point rule requires a two-year waiting period. And so there would be a two-year waiting period on those units. And that would require a rule change to R657-62. And then because of some changes that came with the big game rack and board process last time, we're recommending that those changes be applied to bears as well. And specifically that is reducing the archery equipment requirement of a 40-pound draw weight to 30 pounds and removing the minimum grain arrow weight requirement. And for crossbows, remove the 14-inch draw length requirement and the 18-inch stock length requirements. And that just mirrors what the board just passed for big game. We wanted all the equipment to remain the same, and you could be potentially in the field with people hunting with big game with archery equipment and bears with archery equipment, and we don't want to have our officers have to figure out who's doing what. So it'll all be the same. That's what we're recommending. We also simplified some language. We changed the references in the rule to prima facie evidence to probable cause, added a little bit of a citation that refers to bonus points in the bear rule. So in summary, we're recommending that we change the summer bait season to May 26th through June 29th with no early baiting. In accordance with the management plan guidelines, we're recommending 860 total bear permits, and that's an increase of 102 over last year. That we're recommending a bonus point system for restricted pursuit seasons with a two-year waiting period, and archery and crossbow changes to reflect the big game rule. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Darren. This time, we will have questions. Not comments, questions only from the public on the presentation. Is there any questions?
Kirk Robinson, representing Western Wildlife Conservancy. Thank you, Darren. I have a specific question about how you arrive at the population estimates. I'm still a little unclear about that.
Right.
And I imagine quite a few other people are as well. And in connection with that, have you been talking about ways of improving? You mentioned something like that.
Yeah.
Ways of improving your methods of estimating.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things, Kirk. So the estimate that I presented tonight is based on harvest, and you can use it. It's a little bit, it's not complicated, but it might be a lengthy explanation. But basically, we age the animals that are checked in, that are harvested. If you have a 4-year-old bear in 2017, checked in, you know that he was alive and 3 years old the year before, and you can kind of add back through the years that way. That gets you to a bare minimum, because, and no pun intended, but those are bears that you see that you know were alive and on the landscape. We do a couple of adjustments because we know that females, we encourage people to take male bears and not female bears, and it's illegal to take females with cubs. So we know that those are underrepresented, and the way we arrive at an estimate for female bears is by looking at bears that houndsmen treat and get a ratio from that. And the reason that we only estimate 2 years old and older is because those younger age classes are selected against, both either because it's illegal to take a cub or a yearling is usually a small bear that people pass on. And so this is the estimate I showed is a fairly conservative lower end of where we think we are population wise. The trend, however, wouldn't change. You'd still see, you know, even if you're not accounting for natural mortality, you'd still see kind of the trend. Kirk, you ask about other methods. I think we're interested in continuing our bear denning effort, especially on units that we have large densities of bears. So the Buccliffs, the LaSalles, the San Juans, the Wasatch probably. And we're gonna put some resources to getting collars and getting bears caught and on the air and using GPS collars so we can actually see what kind of habitat they're using. In addition, BYU's been working on some scent data. It's not data, that's not the right way. They're trying to isolate scents that might be really attractive to bears. And if they can, they're working with some chemists there at the university. If they can find something that really attracts bears, that would make our hair snare and DNA mark recapture efforts a little bit easier. If you had a reliable way to lure a bear into those, you know, you can set up barbed wire and snag the hair, and you can identify individuals that way. And then something we haven't tried but might be worthwhile would be a scat-based. So if you find bear scat, you can collect DNA from that. It's kind of a non-invasive way to do kind of a mark recapture. So those are all ideas that we're thinking about and looking at.
Any other questions from the public?
Sorry. Hi, Tiana Price. My question is, if you're using collars to for your population, most of it, don't they get the collars off fairly easy?
It depends on the bear.
Because they're short.
Yeah.
And they are smart.
Right, yeah. If you collar an adult, they maintain those collars pretty well. Where we have problems is, you know, cubs grow and we need to replace those. But they're pretty reliable. Yeah, they'll stay on it. And what we're interested in is sows. We want to see if when they're having cubs, how many cubs they're having, and we can adjust our estimates based on the number of cubs that are born. And bears, you know, they're relatively slow reproducing. They don't necessarily have cubs every year, and so that's important.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the public?
Would you like me to repeat my name and all of that? Kirk Robinson, Western Wildlife Conservancy. About the change in the summer pursuit, the pre-season baiting period where you've
right.
removed the 2 weeks and then you've lengthened the season. I'm just curious, I know why you are doing that, but I'm wondering how you're going to monitor the results. What are you going to be looking at?
Yeah, I think most of that stuff we're going to rely on our officers that are in the field, and it's going to be important with that overlap to kind of monitor. There's a potential for conflict, although I don't think it's a great potential, and so you know we'll keep an eye and see. The other thing that we've discussed is maybe doing a survey, just kind of get a sense for how people are interacting on the landscape and with regard to bear hunting and other things. So that might be an option as well, Kirk. Did I answer your question?
Well,
You got to come back up. Sorry.
Sorry. I shouldn't have asked you a question.
I need the exercise. I'm also interested in how it might affect the bears.
Right. I from a biological standpoint, Kirk, I think it's a good compromise. We should still, allowing people to hunt over bait a week earlier shouldn't see a lot of females with cubs out yet when that occurs. And then the other thing it does, you know, states around us are debating or have debated the use of hounds to hunt bears, and you know, we're sensitive to you know, hounds discovering a bait and then beginning to run off of that. And so this puts a person in a tree at a bait station, and so we feel like maybe that might help people kind of police each other out on the mountain, and it might help our enforcement guys to figure that out.
Any more questions from the public? Questions from the rack? Aaron doesn't have a question. I know he doesn't.
I always have questions. Hey, about the fall, one of your first slides, you said that you, one of the things you were asked to do is examine the fall season dates for the book cliffs.
Right.
Can you touch on more of that? Because I don't think it changed. Is that correct?
It didn't. It didn't change. So the committee got together. We discussed it. That's the main thing we discussed. And we did come up with some possible compromise seasons. One thing that we realized when we brought it back in-house, though, is that it wasn't probably the ideal solution. And we also discovered that there might be parts of that some other regions would like to adopt. The La Salle's and San Juan and the southeastern region were part of that discussion. But we were just talking mainly about the book cliffs. But as they looked at the season structure, they said, you know what, there's some stuff here that we might want to do too. The other challenge down there is that they've got a lot of bear permits. And so discussing these things, other issues with livestock depredation, we felt like we'd like to keep things the same one more year. Get together in the spring and look at the ideas on the book cliffs in addition to these other issues, and come back with changes all at once. And so, you know, this is the second 3-year period. We'll get all of our data in. We can have that discussion in spring. And so next cycle, we'd like to make changes based on that effort and then move forward. And so that's why we're not recommending any changes this year to that.
Any more questions? No more questions. We're going to go to comments from the public. We'll start with Dan from Utah Houndsman Association. Okay. Yeah. 5 minutes, since you represent an organization. Okay. Knock yourself out.
Dan Cockane from the Utah Houndsman Association. We sent an emailed a letter to, I believe everyone should have got one, but if you didn't, I have copies.
I didn't receive it. Thank you. Thank you.
So I would just like to talk a little bit about the background with especially the Book Cliffs, the San Juan, and the La Salle's. Those are the blue ribbon bear hunting places in the state. And when the Book Cliff season was changed, it was changed because of conflict with the elk hunt, you know, those are premium units for all this game. Over the last several years, the division has indicated to us that they're receiving quite a few complaints from the La Salles, the San Juan, and the Book Cliffs with this conflict with hounds and these people who have waited 10, 15, however many years to get an elk tag. The same is with the bears. It takes right now to get a permit on the San Juan La Salle takes about 14, 15 points. So wait all those years. And so we've been discussing this with the RACs, with the board, for several years. Last year, the board said, yeah, we know we need to do something, but next year is the when that three-year cycle is up. And so let's not do anything, and we'll get the committee together, and we'll change it next year. And this is next year. We got the committee together. We brought all these sportsmen groups together and collectively came up with a plan that we felt would help solve some of these conflict problems. And namely in that letter, there were some dates suggested that will let the hounds on the mountain earlier in August, take them off the mountain for the first week of the bow hunt, and then also the last week of the bow hunt, so that we can all try to get along. And I talked to Darren about this, why we didn't change, and he said he felt like, or the division felt like this was a social issue, and the RACs are the place to air those things out, and so that's why we're here. We think the division's done a great job managing bears. We are concerned that the answer this year to the complaints on the La Salle are to reduce the opportunity. So they actually, the fall La Salle hunt was reduced from 10 to 5 permits, which makes that harder to get a permit. Took away opportunity. There's enough bears there that the permits were raised by 25 permits, but the opportunity for sportsmen was reduced by half on that season. And so I realized that those units don't affect you here, but these changes, like were talked about, will potentially affect the whole state. So we would really ask you to approve the recommendations from the division, with the one exception, and that's changing the La Salle, the San Juan, and the Book Cliff fall seasons to August 6th through November 16th, with hound hunting restriction dates of August 18th through the 24th and September 8th through the 25th. We think this will help with the problem, and these conflicts will go away. Our concern is we kick it down the road another cycle, another year, another year, another year, and there's more and more complaints, and we just continue to lose opportunity for the sportsmen. And we can raise those spot and stock permits all we want, and we may not kill a lot more bears, but we'll be less selective. That bear in the tree is a, you can look at it, the bear walking through the brush and a quick shot, we're going to kill sows, we're going to kill small bears. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dan, can you pass out some of those letters so that we have them when we're discussing it?
Kirk?
Kirk Robinson, Western Wildlife Conservancy here in Utah. I'd like to address three issues. First of all, the proposal to eliminate the two-week pre-hunt bait and extend the summer hunt by a week. We favor that. We think it's a good thing to do. Our concern isn't so much the social issues that are involved, the conflicts, but between different recreationists and hunters. But we think it would be interesting to find out how it affects bears. So we would encourage the division to do what they can within reason to make an assessment of the impact on the bear population in terms of age demographics and sex demographics of animals taken. We're particularly concerned about orphaned cubs, and it'd be gratifying if we had some data to show that orphaning cubs or having them subjected to dogs being killed that way, that that's being being affected and reduced. Another thing has to do with population estimates. I'm not an expert on these issues. I look at the data and I think about the data. I do know something about science, however, and I read quite a lot of papers and studies. Now, recently, about a year ago or so, a paper was published on a study done in Colorado around Durango, Colorado. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. There are a lot of recreational type homes in the area, a growing population, and also recreation sat on trails. And there have been a lot more reports in recent years about various kinds of conflicts with bears. So it appeared to Colorado Parks and Wildlife that the bear population was growing. However, when they did a long-term study, they found out that it actually had shrunk. They had misinterpreted the data. And I'm going on memory here, so I might not be quite precise, but I think this would be worth looking into. What was happening, actually, was that the bears were moving farther to find food. Food was scarcer. So they're moving around more, and they were coming into conflict with humans more. The population had actually probably shrunk. I'll find the reference citation for that for anyone who might be interested. So I just urge the Division of Wildlife Resources to revisit that at some point when it's convenient. Think harder about it. See if they can find ways to further substantiate their population estimates, make sure that they are not misinterpreting the data. And the third point has to do with depredation. It's an ongoing problem. You look at the graph and, you know, it does go up and down, but it averages out almost flat over the years since 2000, the number of bears taken for various kinds of depredation. Despite the fact that the population of bears has evidently grown. Well, I wonder, and one more point, quite a bit is made of the justification for increasing the number of bear permits based on the fact that there are depredation problems. But we hear this repeatedly. I've been coming to these meetings for going on three decades. And I'm wondering why, if general bear hunting is effective at reducing the incidence of depredation, that we're not seeing that happen. Is there any data to support the hypothesis that general bear hunting actually does tend to reduce the amount of depredation on melons, beehives, sunflowers, or whatever it may be? And if there are no studies to show that, maybe we need to instigate one. One last point in that connection.
10 seconds.
My time's up?
No, seconds. You got 10 more.
All right, I can make this last one quick. You know, there's always the issue about non-lethal deterrence of one kind or another, ways to mitigate depredation. I would like to have the division start reporting a little more on that each year. What has been done and what hasn't been done? I'd like to see that they're actually thinking more along those lines, non-lethal ways of preventing conflicts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last card we have is Mr. Selman.
Thank you, members of the RAC. Brett Selman, Tremonton. I'm representing the wool growers and the Farm Bureau, and I thank you guys for being there. I've sat in your chairs for 8 years, and I appreciate the time you guys put in. On my way down here, the Farm Bureau people called and said they wasn't able to come, and I said, well, I'll represent you too. So I don't know if that's even legal, but I'll probably get 10 minutes now.
But how about two?
Both organizations appreciate the division's efforts in keeping up to the increasing bear populations in this state. Our last year on bear and lion losses, we got paid 83% of our value of confirmed losses. And that's the first time that had happened since that cap had gone up several years ago to 180,000. And so our bear and lion, that's a combined sum. And so it's gone up. And so we appreciate the efforts that you all have made to raise the number of bears to be hunted. So we support the division's recommendations, and that's, again, I'm representing the Farm Bureau and the wool growers. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments from the public? Okay. We'll go back to the RAC. Kevin.
In regards to the recommendation from the houndsman, at least the gentleman indicated that they'd talked with you, Darren, about about that. I'd like to know what your study in the and Wildlife Resources feels that would do or could do, the potential of that change.
Right. We did discuss the season structure that Dan mentioned. That was one of that was kind of the compromise. Can you hear me?
No. Not really.
Sorry.
Yeah, we get all these complaints.
So, Darren DuBois, Division of Wildlife Resources. So we talked about primarily the book cliffs in the group and talked about that season structure with regards to that particular hunt. The San Juan and the LaSalle's is a little bit different. You know, their season structure is currently different. It's more similar to the general season. So their fall bear hunt on the LaSalle's and San Juan's totally runs concurrent with the archery season. And last year we had about 90 complaints on those two units that people grabbed COs in the field and complained about hounds, and you know, they're out there with trying to hunt with their bows. And so we felt like it was something that we needed to address. The concern is that if we hunt during the archery seasons on the book cliffs, that we'll get a similar number of complaints. That's the region's concern, and that's been the history on the book cliffs. The reason we moved the season out of that fall season and did it later is because of complaints. So this year the solution, as Dan mentioned, on the LaSalle's and book cliffs is to actually cut those tags in half. The region felt like when they had about 5 permits during that season, they didn't have the conflict in the field. And so our recommendations include that. Some of those permits, they shifted to the spring season, and another portion of the increase. So they actually increased permits. They moved some out of that season to a different season, and a lot of those are going into that spot and stock season as well. But it's something that we know is a concern, and I think, to be fair, you know, this is my first year cycle, and so you know, Dan talked about how, you know, they kind of been told, okay, we're in the third year, next year we'll be looking at this, and I think some of that's my fault. I, you know, in order to answer and address all these questions, that came up in addition to the stuff we talked about in the group. We felt like we needed a little bit more time, and it just again, you know, the first cycle you're kind of learning and you don't realize all the things you don't know. And so there are other issues we'd like to look at. And again, our recommendation would be one more year, as we are, take a look at these issues specifically and additional issues in terms of other units. And some of this structure might make sense on other units in the state as well. And then come back and make one change 1 year and move forward, so we kind of have an apples-to-apples comparison. So that's our recommendation. The other thing about applying the season structure to the Los Alamos and San Juan is currently this season runs late into the fall, and right now it doesn't. And so we'd be adding hound hunting on those units where it traditionally hasn't been and people don't expect, and that'd be during those later season big game hunts, that the any weapon structures that go on there. And there's deer hunts, there's elk hunts, there's things like that. I'd anticipate we may see more complaints if all of a sudden people draw those tags and then encounter hounds in the field. But those would be our concerns. But Dan's right, this is a public process. So
thank you.
Can you stay there for just a second, Darren? With the houndsman's proposal, how many, and they can help, how many additional days are they looking at adding to the season? I'm August 6th to November 16th with approximately 3 to 4 weeks taken out of it. Is that extending the hunt quite a bit? I was looking at the days, and that seems to be adding almost.
It is. It
45 days or more to
right.
the season?
It's an extension, yeah. And I off the top of my head, I couldn't say. We could look at a calendar. I don't know if Darren, maybe you know.
I can tell you.
Okay.
So last year on the San Juan LaSalle, speaking about those two units, they have the same season dates. Houndsmen were given 31 days on the mountain. 35 days. Under the Houndsman Association's letter, they'd be given 31 days in August and September. So they lose 4 days during the premium months. What happens in October is it starts to get colder, the food sources dry up, and it gets harder to kill bears. And you can look at the Book Cliffs harvest data if you want to realize that. The bears don't get killed in October or November most of the time. And so the premium time to hunt, that's what everybody wants, right? The bow hunters, everybody's August and September. Under the Hound Association's letter, they'd actually lose 4 days during those months. But they would gain the month of October, which is a less desirable time to hunt, possibly. You know, in November, the bears are asleep, so you can go hunt if you want, but you ain't going to see very many. Jim.
Another thing that occurs on the Book Cliffs that's a little bit different is that as you move later into the season, you start to get a separation between big game and bears. Bears tend to stay high. Big game start rolling down the hill. And so currently they hunt later there. And that's why this season structure made sense for the Book Cliffs as we were talking about it, because they currently hunt during those late October months. And they feel like they haven't had a lot of conflict during those hunts because big game start to move. Although the houndsmen on the panel had concerns about being in the field during those late seasons, like the spike hunt, for example, and just there's just a lot of people out there trying to share the resource. And the Book Cliffs is a big area, but when you look at the habitat, it can concentrate people. So
I'd like to add to that. So I'm Aaron Johnson. I represent the sportsmen. So Darren and I have talked about this, and a lot of the other sportsmen's group, including SFW and Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, have emailed me and called me, and we've spoken about this bear committee meeting and about these recommendations. And so everyone knows, this letter comes from the Houndsman Association, but the Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation both support the Houndsman letter in changing these dates. I spoke with Bill Christensen and Troy Justison. So it's not just the houndsmen asking for this. We have two large sports, two very large sportsman groups and the houndsmen asking for this. Some history. I personally hunt those units, the San Juan, the LaSalle's, and the Book Cliffs. And I love all the changes that have been made and support all the changes that Darren and the Bear Committee came up with. The problem that we're having is there's just not enough time on the mountain for everybody to have their own day by themselves. And the reality is this, and I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, but I was down there on the LaSalle's last year and hunted with Big Ron for 25 days. And I had zero complaints. You know, in fact, I took bow hunters to trees and little girls got to see their first bear. And there was a lot more positive interaction that came out of our camp with Bowman's than negative. And then we get told that there's all these complaints. And so these season dates that the houndsmen have come up with and the Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife and the other sportsmen's groups, along with Darren, would reduce those conflicts. It would give the sportsmen's groups, the different, a little bit of time by themselves. You know, the bow hunters are going to have some time on the mountain by themselves. The limited entry elk hunters are going to have some time on the mountain by themselves. And that's the whole purpose of here. Our concern, the sportsman's concern, is we're fighting. You know, we're arguing with each other. And there's 60 letters from people that should learn to share the mountain. I mean, that's the reality. If we could all just share the mountain, we wouldn't be here. But we don't want to see hound hunting pay the price. For 3 years, the Hound Association has asked that the Book Cliffs change because the houndsmen are now asked to go hunt during the general spike elk hunt on the Book Cliffs and turn out their hounds with 1,000 to 2,000 orange soldiers with guns and hope they don't get shot. Why don't we put the trophy elk hunt at that time and let the houndsmen have the trophy elk time? I mean, someone has to give here. In my opinion, you know, San Juan and LaSalle's and the Book Cliffs, like Dan mentioned, are the big three. It's, everyone wants to hunt there. But make no doubt about it, if you look at the drawing odds, and Dan touched on this, the hardest tags to draw on them units are bear tags. You can draw two or three deer tags in the time it takes to draw a fall bear tag on the Book Cliffs. So what's the most coveted tag? And I don't know, I've spoken a lot with Darren. There's a lot of sportsmen's groups that are for this letter. And 3 years ago, we moved the Book Cliff season dates as an experiment. It really hasn't worked, if you talk to the houndsmen. The bear mortality on the Book Cliffs in that time has gone down, and I think the division wants that to go up. That season date's not working to the division goals or for the actual outdoorsmen, and that's why we've asked as sportsmen to kind of change those season dates and bring them back to mirror the San Juan and the LaSalle's. And you know, and I mean Darren, when you were in the Bear Committee meeting, and I think the letter talks about this, was there any group that was in opposition to it at the committee meetings or discussing it?
No, there was a consensus. Again, it was primarily one meeting. We met for probably 3 or 4 hours, and this is the main thing we talked about. But again, just so everybody understands, that you know, this structure was mainly talked about in terms of the Book Cliffs, and I don't think it quite fits the LaSalle San Juan structure for the reasons I mentioned. But yeah, nobody had any concerns. What we did is we kind of brought those ideas in internally and kicked them around, because you always miss something. And there is some interest in the southeastern region of maybe looking at doing some different things. And it'd probably be more than just this, because of the number of permits that are available down there. We're starting to get to a point where we're going to need to try to find a way to split people up in time and space, because you know, we're putting a lot of houndsmen on top of each other as well, so and increase opportunity. So again, we felt like we needed a little more time to look at all of those things together.
So my comment would be, could we take, I mean, they asked to target the Book Cliffs specifically, and could we maybe take a happy medium and do the Book Cliffs for 1 year, make sure it's, you know, good. Then add this next year on the San Juan and LaSalle if the Book Cliffs is a success. You know, kind of take a little bit of baby steps, you know, because that's what it seems like that's what they've been after for the last couple of years. And then all of a sudden LaSalle and San Juan got thrown in at the last minute.
Right.
I think
it's a great point, and I have no opposition to that. A part of the concern is the huge number of complaints on the San Juan and LaSalle, and if we keep kicking this problem down the road, when does it boil over to where? And speaking from, you know, sportsman's point, I really do believe that they solicit these complaints. I don't think they intentionally do, and we've spoken with Darren about this. But if you buy a bear pursuit permit, you get a phone call and asked if you had conflicts. No one's called and asked me if I had a conflict with a water skier when I was fishing. I mean, they don't. No one's contacted me and said, did you have a conflict with another duck hunter? But they do call you and ask if you had a conflict if you're a bear hunter. So if you're soliciting complaints,
you're going to get them.
Are you going to get zero or 60? And so that's part of the problem, is that these complaints have been solicited on accident. Nothing bad, but they want to know what can they do. And so I think that needs to be looked at as well. The Southeast Region Rack, and I know that's not our problem, but it's a different animal down there, and there's huge controversy, you know, with this. And a lot of that push came from some of the representatives down there that hunt that area for the San Juan and LaSalle's. Their fear is if we don't do anything on the San Juan and LaSalle's, are we going to lose as hunters and outdoorsmen? Because it's getting to that point, you know, that's the fear. And I don't think that's what the division wants, neither. So,
well, just for the record, I've said in this meeting that it's just the guys that are hunting bears with their amount of points have just as much as the guys that draw on the elk. So
I agree.
But in the same sense, it'd be nice to have the data off the Book Cliffs, say, hey, it worked without a hitch. It works great. Let's implement it on the San Juan or LaSalle next year. So
I agree. And, you know, about the complaints, you know, I think we need to look at how big those mountains are and how few permits they give for bear hunters. That doesn't mean they all hunt with hounds. If they gave 10 permits on the LaSalle's for bear tags last year, 5 of them might have been bait hunters. We don't know. 5 of them might have been hounds hunting. Is there really that big of a problem with 5 people hunting a mountain range? At some point, the division's got to realize that, man, maybe the people complaining are the problem.
Question like on a survey when they harvest, if they use dogs or bait or spot and stock?
No,
when they check it in, they do.
When they check it in, we do. So we could find that. I probably should have had that available. So we could tease that out. I think the majority tend to be guys that use hounds. But the guys that are successful that turn in a bear are the, you know, those are the ones that we talk to. As far as soliciting, there's a couple of ways we get feedback from sportsmen. One is, like Aaron mentioned, we ask them on a survey when they get a random call, and so we have satisfaction numbers for hunters on different hunts, and it's a 5, you know, 1 through 5 scale, you know, 3 being neutral, and then the ones we're talking about here, the 60 on the LaSalle's, the 30 on the San Juan was officers just making regular field contacts and being either approached and complained to or so they weren't asking, hey, did you have a conflict with bear hunters in those instances. That was just part of the conversation that came up. So there may be better ways to look at this, and the challenge is, you're right, you get feedback from both sides, and this isn't unique to these two particular things. Maybe the only difference is that, you know, a person hunting with dogs is, you know, got that group of dogs running across the country, and so it's a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, archery hunters get into conflict with other archery hunters, and so that's not new. We hear about all of that stuff.
On those complaints, speaking from personal experience,
So I do run hounds, and so I have a personal experience about it. I hope that the hunters here and on the board realize that if a dog barks in the mountains, it doesn't mean a deer runs. I've walked to bear trees, and I'm gonna get you some video of this, Darren, so you can use it. I've walked to bear trees, and 50 yards over there, there's a buck bedded down, and the dogs are barking right here. So because a dog barks in the woods doesn't mean that the deer runs to Garfield County, you know. So that's something to keep in mind, too. Now, the perception of the hunter might have that perception if he can't feel his tag. And they're always looking for something to blame it on, you know. Well, I heard a dog bark and I didn't see a deer or something. But I'll be honest with you, hunting the LaSalle's, you got a lot of good road hunters. Like any given day on the bow hunting LaSalle's, you can go down there and see 10 guys in the back of trucks with flinging arrows from the road, you know. And I don't know if that's the, you know, if they seen the hound dog truck go by and that was the conflict. But I like some of your suggestions, Bryce. This letter, these season dates, this was not the Hound Association's idea. This come from the other sportsmen's groups. This was their idea.
At the Bear Committee.
From the Bear Committee. From the division, from other sportsmen's groups. And then we jumped on board with it because it does benefit all sportsmen. A bait hunter that had this tag could hunt from August 6th to November 16th. The houndsman can't, but they could. Or a spot and stock hunter. You draw that once in a lifetime fall bear tag down there and you want a spot and stock or bait hunt, you have a real long season, which will benefit in harvesting a bear. So this is not just a benefit for houndsmen. In fact, the hound dates are restricted. This is a benefit for all of the outdoorsmen that want to harvest a bear on these units. And it is a great, like you said, experiment. And that's kind of the way we'd like to see it go, is let's experiment on these units. If it is a problem, and we can adjust it next year, that's what the plan allows for. And so I think that's why the Hound Association and SFW and Elk Foundation supported this letter, these changes.
Okay. Any more comments? Comments and or motions?
I'll make a motion if there's no more discussion. I'll make a motion to accept the DWR's proposal as presented by Darren, with the exception of the fall season dates for the LaSalle, San Juan, and Book Cliffs, and that those fall season dates are August 6th to November 16th, with hound hunting restricted on the dates between August 18th to 24th and September 8th to 25th.
Okay. Everybody clear on the motion? I guess exactly as the letter reads. Do we have a second? Okay. Motion.
I'll second that.
We do have a second. Okay. Got a motion by Aaron, a second by David on the presentation. Accept the presentation as follows, with the exception of the LaSalle, San Juan, Book Cliffs fall season dates changed as read. Any questions on the motion? Okay, we'll vote. All in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
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 Five. All opposed, raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion fails. Somebody want to take another crack at a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the division's proposal as presented, with the exception to listen to the houndsman's letter, with exception and add the dates only pertaining to the Book Cliffs hunt, and extend those dates that are on the letter, meaning August 6th to November 16th and August 18th to the 24th of the days. Let me start that over. So August 16th, what is the hunt dates? They are from the August, I can't see, I'm sorry. The hunt dates would be August 6th to November 16th and restricted through August 18th to the 24th and September 8th and 25th, that we would do that on the Book Cliffs hunt alone with as a trial. If that makes sense.
Okay, so basically it's the same motion, but only the LaSalles, not
no,
the...
No, only
the no sorry. Sorry, only the Book Cliffs, not the LaSalles and San Juan.
Do you accept the plan and then have a separate motion for dates only on the Book Cliffs?
Well, he's saying...
Right, I got what Justin's saying, but to make it, to simplify it...
Well, it's... I think it's where there's only one...
You can't accept the plan and have that, can you?
I think it's where it's only one exception. We can do them both together, so... Okay. Accept the plan as presented with the exception that we accept the Houndsman's Association... Or Sportsman, we'll say Sportsman, exception with the Book Cliffs season dates to be changed from August 6th to November 16th, with hound hunting restriction dates of August 18th to 24th, September 8th to 25th.
On the Book Cliffs.
On the Book Cliffs only. Do we have a second on that motion? Matt. Okay. Take a vote on this one. All in favor? Well, any questions on that motion? All in favor? Raise your hand. Keep them up. That one's unanimous. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you, Darren. Thank you guys for coming. See you in like March-ish. Probably we won't see you till March. So have a good Christmas.